You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to 4 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. And you know what that means. We play the camel at the beginning of the show. And towards the end of the show, we have a thing we call the Grand Council. So I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio who've been doing this for quite a while. And we ping each other with questions. So let me just... Let me call the roll in the Grand Council from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show, also editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. And also up in the Huntsville way, North Alabama, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Dale Jackson, host of the Dale Jackson Show, program director guy at WVNN Cumulus Broadcasting, also writes for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you there? All right, outstanding. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da. All right, I think I know what the first question is going to be. I'm going to throw it to Jeff Poor and see if I'm right. Go ahead, Jeff.
I want to talk about the Veterans Affairs Board.
I knew it. Okay, go ahead.
Somewhere in Alabama right now, somebody sitting in traffic on I-65. There's probably some inmate having his Eighth Amendment rights violated in one of Alabama's correctional facilities. There's any number of problems. The Alabama Department of Transportation, John Cooper's probably yelling at somebody in his deteriorating state. Yet, the governor of Alabama seems to think that this Veteran Affairs saga is the most important thing. She's absent 90% of the time. The 10% she's chosen to show up is on this. Can you tell me why?
I can't tell you why. In fact, I have it written down right here on my notepad. Is this the battle for her to fight? And it's not. And I'll tell you what else, too, Jeff. Here's one of my perceptions on this is this is a call on her leadership, if you get down to it. Is she leading? I don't think she is. She's got a cabinet member who refuses to resign at her request. She's got a board that she's called meetings for, and she can, who refuses to comply with what she asked for. She's got two cabinet members, one of whom files an ethics complaint against the other. And then nowhere in there do we ever hear that she's getting them together and saying, look, work this out. We're not seeing that. All we're seeing is this very public spat between cabinet officials, and it makes no sense, but it clearly goes back to her leadership, in my opinion. Dale?
Hey, I don't know what the reasoning is. Is this something to do with COVID money or something? And look, here's the deal. They're serving at her pleasure. Yeah, something like that. I mean, they're serving at her pleasure, right? She has supreme executive authority. I think she can drone us if we don't agree with her. But the reality is they serve at her pleasure. Well, what is the problem here? Doesn't want her. She's the governor. She's elected. She appoints him. Let's go. Move on.
Well, there's a question about that, because I thought they all served at her pleasure, too. But the reality is that apparently the commissioner for the ADVA was actually hired and answers to the board. And the board has said, we don't want to lose him. So it gets even weirder.
Let's clarify this real quick.
Go ahead.
You said that the VA commissioner is not a member of her cabinet. The mental health commissioner is a member of her cabinet. She has direct authority. Now, she gets to appoint the Veteran Affairs Board. So they all, you know, she could fire and hire them, and they could come and go. And what she should have done, I guess, or what she could have done was just cleaned house there, put her people in place, and then got whatever she wanted. But she chose to do it this way, which is kind of a curious approach.
Now, she did get rid of one, right, just a couple of weeks ago.
She did, yes.
Yeah. The whole thing's wacky.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, she's done a terrible job of explaining what the issue is. And I know 1819 News has written about this. I've seen some stuff at Yellowhammer. And I read the articles. At the end, I go, I need to talk to Jeff and find out what's going on. And this is not helping me.
No. The reality is it's not a hill to die on.
Yeah, well, y'all understand what's going on here. And I can try to explain it real quick. What happened was there's this opioid settlement. The governor, her office, decided that money, all of it or the lion's share of it, should go to the Department of Mental Health. The Department of Veteran Affairs says, wait a minute, we think we should get some of that money. The governor said, no, I have the jurisdiction here. They filed an ethics at the board's behest.
Yes.
The Veteran Affairs Commissioner filed an ethics complaint against the governor's cabinet secretary of mental health and AltaPoint, who is the main vendor that seems to have its finger in everything when coming to mental health in this state. The ethics commission, as no one thought they were going to take this seriously. They toss it. They get rid of it. Governor Ivey is red hot mad. She decides it's time to clean house. She uses this. Now, she doesn't say, hey, you filed an ethics complaint against me, I'm coming for you. She says, you mismanaged ARPA money that was supposed to be used in a statutory way, and you did it wrong.
Which, well, the come board to find says out, no.
That's not what happened.
Yeah.
They had proposed to use it in a way at the Department of Veterans Affairs. They had proposed to use it, and they have somebody kind of some oversight somewhere. Said, no, you can't do it that way. Governor Ivey said, look what you tried to do. We're cleaning house, and this was what they used as a vehicle to get rid of this guy. Well, the board said, no, he did what we told him to do. He's acting as we wanted him to do. We're giving him a vote of confidence. We want him to stay. Governor Ivey calls her emergency meeting yesterday. After numerous attempts here, she finally says, all right, we're going to have once and for all. We need to remove him. I'm calling on you to remove him. The board votes 3-2 to keep Kit Davis. Kit Davis then, at that same meeting, the governor's attorney walks across the room and hands him his pink slip, and that's where we are. Now, we're not sure if she has the actual authority to do this. Now, they would have to litigate it. They'd have to go through court and all of that, and we'd have to determine.
Well, the bottom line, though, Jeff, is it's ugly. It's ugly, it and it's unnecessary.
I just wasted like 3 minutes of your show trying to explain that to you.
No,
my life.
It's insane.
It is. All right, listen, we're going to move on from it because I covered some of this earlier in the show too. But it's nuts, and I think the biggest thing, in my opinion, is it reflects on her leadership or lack thereof. Next question, Dale, what do you got?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, she's the worst. Oh, yeah, by the way, Governor Ivey is the seventh most popular governor in Alabama.
Just go figure. Did we just lose Dale?
That's my question. Can you explain it?
Well, I said earlier, it's kind of like Punxsutawney Phil. You bring him out once in a while for a press op, everybody smiles and claps, and you put him back. And then you see him again when the next photo op happens. That's the way her administration feels right now. She pops in for the photo op. Yeah, like even this yesterday with the ADVA thing, again, to overlap our topics here, she called for the meeting and she didn't go to the meeting herself. So I look at it and go, I just have to question leadership all the way around, and yet they say she's still real popular. I don't know how to explain it. Jeff?
I this is what I said in 2021, and I thought, look, I told my listeners, if she wins her primary without a runoff, what is the takeaway there? And this is after COVID, after the lockdowns, mask mandates, all this nonsense with the vaccine.
Yeah.
And the gas tax, you can make a list of things you don't like about Kay Ivey. If she wins her runoff, she wins her primary without a runoff, that is a mandate. We get more of the same. And guess what? Here it is, 2024, we're getting more of the same. And this is what people want. Elections have consequences.
Well put. All right. Hey, before we run out of time, I'll get my question in real quick.
What about me? I have an opinion on this.
By all means, then, please opine, sir.
People like her. People like the state of their life in Alabama. People are relatively okay with how things are going. That's all it means. That's all it means. I think that's it.
Well, so what you're saying is it's not a reflection on her per se. It's a reflection on the people, that people don't have a gripe with her right now.
Correct. Things are going okay. People are happy with it.
All right. Speaking of going okay, 13 days until the presidential election is finally over. 13 days. We just learned that Trump is, he had a big week. McDonald's, huge, the populist kind of thing. Now he's going to go on Joe Rogan on Friday. But we're hearing right now that Kamala actually turned down Joe Rogan. What is worse for her, doing Joe Rogan or turning down Joe Rogan? Jeff?
Doing Joe Rogan. There's no upside there. I mean, she is the worst presidential candidate in my lifetime.
Bar none, I would say. Dale, what's worse, her turning down Joe Rogan or actually doing Joe Rogan?
oh, she's an imbecile doing it. I mean, but Jeff has been saying this for months. She's lazy, which is now racist, by the way, which I always knew if Jeff was saying it. So we've been hearing this. Now we have a proof that she just can't hang on these things. Anytime she sits down with someone, she embarrasses herself. Even if they write the questions ahead of time, she still can't get the job done. She is an idiot. And I think I think this thing's over already, but I think a blowout might be coming.
I'm praying for a blowout. I think the blowout is actually what's going to prevent problems. It's going to have to be a blowout.
It's necessary. We need a cleansing. God sent a flood with Noah, and this is what we need.
I love that. I completely agree. I said earlier that we need it to be like an election therapy moment where we just got in there and got better in one night. With a blowout. All right, you guys, that's the time. Let's take the first break. We're taking a break right now. Come right back for round number two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson and just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain route. Right. Going back for the round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson. Round two, first question. Jeffro, what you got?
So what y'all think of this? I think that, you know, seems like, you know, the Democrats, when we'll say Harris, Obama, Eminem, all these people, why are they spending so much time in Detroit? It seems like there's a lot of things Democrats should have nailed down in this election, and they do not, and they're in big trouble here. Am I wrong to think that?
No, you're not wrong. They're panicking. That blue wall is eroding, and it's a double issue here. One is they can lose the election, but two, they lose their mojo. So if they are seen as losing Michigan after everything they've been saying about Trump and everything they've been touting and everything they've been doing to try and restructure the auto industry and all of it, if they lose Michigan, if they lose Wisconsin, if they lose Pennsylvania, they've not just lost the election, they have truly lost their mojo, and they're going to have a hard time recovering for years from it. So I think what you're seeing right now is what I would call panic campaigning right now. Dale?
Their knees are weak. Their arms are heavy. How's the rest of that go? Vomit on, they're sweaty.
Vomit on her sweatshirt, mom spaghetti. Yeah.
There you go. Thank you.
Good job, Dale. Awesome, buddy.
They're nervous about what's going on, and it's showing, and it's just not going very well for them. And I don't blame them. They're in a bad way. We talked about it before. There's going to be a landslide coming. I mean, this is all trending in the wrong direction. Jeff, you're the expert here. At least we pretend you are. The question I would have on this is basically this. Do they have time to turn it around?
Jeff,
I don't know what they can do. You and I've talked about this a bunch. Is there a singular event, or you know, even the best October surprise? I think on October the 23rd,
Trump loving
Hitler.
Yeah, there's nice.
But I mean, what seismic event would that be? Would it be a terror attack? What is left in the reservoir to hit Trump with? And I don't have an answer for that. If I were running the Harris effort, I don't know what I would do right now.
They're going to have to find pictures of Trump at a P. Diddy party with Commissioner or Premier Xi from China. I mean, it's to the point that, I mean, what can they do? They've thrown everything in the under the sun at him. And he continues to resist. It's almost like the attacks now are so ad hominem that you look at him and go, eh, whatever, meh. Another John Kelly speaks out, meh, and they think we got a thing now. We got a thing. No, you don't. You got another meh. It's just piling on panic is all it is. All right.
I know the answer though. I know the answer, guys.
What's the answer?
It is Liz Cheney.
Oh, well, now, and, you know, Adam Kinzinger can go to the gun range and look like a big dude, too, and that works out really well.
All Kamala Harris needs to do is show up somewhere with Liz Cheney in a game, set, match.
Just saying. I'm hearing she wants a cabinet position. I look at her on stage with Kamala thinking she has buyer's remorse. She's regretting this so big. But anyway, next question. Dale, what do you got?
All right, it's about the media. I mean, it's similar to what we just talked about. I just can't get why they do these things to themselves. Why not go on a two-week Kamala Harris is awesome binge and just try to tell you all the great things she's done in her life? Like, okay, so I guess that's why they're not doing it. What do you think does the media expect? How do they expect to come out on the other side of this election with any credibility to be critical of the Trump presidency. That's clearly coming.
Well, you're going back to, by the way, thank you for calling in on a tin can today. But you're going back to the whole mojo argument again. The press is losing its mojo in a big way. The surveys indicate that the trust in the media has never been lower. And the reality is they have so embedded themselves into the Kamala Good, Kamala Good, Kamala Good campaign that I don't know how they're ever going to recover. It's going to have to be a total clean house and try to restore trust. Jeff?
Yeah, it feels worse than Hillary.
It does.
Certainly worse than Biden. I didn't think Biden's campaign was that great, but like we were sitting there and the polls showed a much bigger lead for both of them, and then they just barely get it with Biden. This is going to be a disaster. Here's what I think, though. This is how they do it. I think the Democratic Party's got to have a bloodletting. They got to have their civil war, and they may have it. They force their members to walk the plank and go with her as a nominee instead of Biden, instead of anybody else. And there's going to have to be some kind of consequences there.
That's your own question, Dale. What are you thinking about it?
In my defense, I told you that I had to pick my son up from chess. This would be a problem. credibility.
That does not excuse the crappy audio on your cheesy burner phone that you're calling me on.
I have an iPhone 10 or whatever from like 10 years ago. So anyway, their credibility is destroyed. They continue to just do it. I don't know what the correct answer is. There not only has to be a bloodletting at the DNC and everywhere else with Democrats, there needs to be a bloodletting in the media. And I don't just mean it where Todd Stacey is using state dollars to hire employees for his outlet. I'm talking about CNN, MSNBC, all these places need to have bloodletting.
You need to hit their advertisers. Right now, media, and I know I'm going in your time, Phil, the media is not a meritocracy. They get the big-name brand advertisers, but they get no ratings, and it's all because the culture says you can't be corporate and conservative. You need to be liberal and touchy-feely, and that's why CNN, MSNBC survive.
All right, we got less than a minute. Let me ask you a quick question. Give it a yes or no, or at least a short answer. If Trump wins, which I believe the indications are he will, after all the January 6th discussion, after all the things about being election deniers, will there be civil unrest if Trump wins? Jeff?
I've thought a lot about this. I don't think there's much left in the tank. I think that is exaggerated, and I think this is sort of – there will be, but it won't be as great as people might think.
Dale, on your tin can, what do you think?
Wrong. There will be civil unrest, and it will be awesome. Burn those Democrat cities down, baby. Let's go!
Wow, Dale Jackson, thank you for checking in. All right, listen, I think that there's I agree with Jeff. I think that the gas is about run out. I think they'll look at it. There'll be a deep sense of remorse and acceptance. There will be some protestations and some crying and wailing and gnashing of teeth, but I don't think there's going to be any massive riots. All right, you guys, appreciate you both. Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, 1819 News. Dale Jackson, WVNN up in Huntsville, Yellowhammer News, and me, Grand Counsel, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.